Well, I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. Lord, bless His word to us. Need His help, need His enlightenment to our understanding, to our minds. I'd like to begin in the book of Leviticus, the 18th chapter. I'd like to consider this morning, by the Lord's help, the thought of a holy nation. Leviticus chapter 18. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, ye shall not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. There is instruction that the Lord gives throughout this chapter and the chapters surrounding it, giving instruction of how the children of Israel were to live. How they were to conduct themselves before God, before one another, the things that they were to do and not to do. The Lord began to teach them of things that were clean and things that were unclean, to be able to make a distinction and a difference between those. And the Lord was making of them a nation. He was bringing them up who had been really a family, almost a tribe or a family that the Lord had grown throughout the years, even in the captivity of Egypt, but they had been under oppression. They hadn't had autonomy as a nation of their own, but the Lord brought them out and He wanted to make of them a nation that was imaged after His plan and His pattern and what He wanted to see of a nation. And He wanted him to realize, I don't want this nation to look like just any other nation. I don't want this to resemble Egypt that you just came out of. I don't want this to resemble the Canaanites that I'm bringing you unto. I want you to be a holy nation, a peculiar people that are different, that are separate, that aren't like, don't bring the baggage with you from Egypt. Don't bring the customs of the Egyptians with you that you've seen around you that you can become accustomed to. Leave those in Egypt. And whenever I bring you into this land, there are precautions that you have to take so that you don't adopt their practices. Because I want you to be separate. I want you to be a holy nation, separate from the nations that are around you. So the Lord talked about here throughout this chapter some of the practices of pagan nations. Don't let it be among you. Don't practice these things. The Apostle Paul, I believe in one of his writings, he said, let it not once be named among you. This thing that was so commonplace to the world and the nations of the world, don't let it once be named among you. Because you're not of this world. Jesus said that they're in this world, but we are not of this world. And His prayer was, Father, keep them from the evil that's in the world. You know, the Lord still has a holy nation. The Lord still has today a holy people in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. In a world today, the Lord is still calling for a people who are willing to leave Egypt far behind, who are willing to abandon and cut all ties with sinful practices and sinful ideas and the baggage that it brings, to cut it and leave it all behind, who are willing to live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, not to go start a Church of God commune somewhere, but right in the midst of the crookedness and perversion of this world, we are called to something higher than this world. The Lord doesn't just come along and find a bunch of people mired in the the muck and the mud of sin and say, hey, you over there, you're mine. And you're mine there too now. And you're going to be mine too. And leave us there. The Lord calls us out and picks us up out of the muck and out of the mire, out of Egypt, out of Babylon. And the Lord calls us to something higher and better than all of that. For us to be a separate and a holy nation unto God. The 19th chapter. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. I appreciated very much the Sunday school lesson this morning, and felt like in many ways it intertwined with what the Lord's given me this week. The Spirit of the Lord, that's the way He works. You know, the Lord, whenever we see Him for who He is, whenever we recognize and we see God as high and lifted up, there is something that it produces within us that we're not to just be casual and cavalier before God, that we're not to just handle lightly His ways, that we're not to just dabble around in the things of this world, but to realize that I am a holy God, He said. That He's not like the gods of this world. Oh Lord, help us to have a fear of God upon our hearts. A thought of during the Sunday school of the men of Beth Shemesh, I believe it was. If you remember that story, the Lord had given in His instructions to the children of Israel that there is a very specific order in which they were to go into the Holy of Holies. Not they, one, was to go into the Holy of Holies. Whenever they packed up the tabernacle and moved, they didn't just say, hey, need some volunteers over here for us to move this thing. But there was a very prescribed, this is holy unto the Lord. This isn't just something where you're picking up your picnic basket and you're carrying it along. This is God's stuff. But there is a place where they became, passage says familiar, or the old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. They became so familiar with the things of God that they didn't have a holy reverence for it as they should. And it said that they looked into the Ark of the Covenant and the Lord smote them there. The Lord wanted them to realize that I am a holy God. I'm not to be trifled with. So is called to the children of Israel, be ye holy, for I am also holy. You know, the Lord is still calling for a holy people today. The message of holiness is not left on the bookshelf of 1880. The message of holiness didn't belong under the 1880s. Thank the Lord they got a hold of that light and they moved out on the light that the Lord gave them and the understanding. But that book of history hadn't closed. The message of the evening light still goes forward. That the Lord is calling for a holy nation that is willing to be separate from this world, willing to be apart, willing to be apart as in one word apart, not a part, not part of, but separate, apart, different from this world around us. In our conduct, in our conversation, it's one thing to say, well, we're a holiness people. Well, we are the church of God, but it produces something in our lives when we really see God for who He is. When we really are beholding the Lord in His glory, there's something that sin can't dwell there. Sin can't abide in that kind of place before the Lord. Uncleanness and unrighteousness has no place there. And there is a repulsion of wickedness and of sin, like we heard about last week. And what should our response be unto sin and unto the workings of the devil? There should be a repulsion within our heart for those things. For the Lord wants us and is calling for us to be a holy people unto the Lord, a holy nation. So that was the message here Ye shall be holy, for the Lord your God am holy. I want to read just a little bit more here in Leviticus, the 20th chapter. Leviticus 20, maybe beginning in the 4th verse. If the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Moloch and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Don't resort to the ways of the world. Don't resort to the things they give themselves to, the passions and the ideas and the things that they turn their children over to. We don't have Molechs in our land today that are set up with their arms outstretched. But there are no fewer gods today that people worship and sacrifice their homes and their families and the sanctity of their marriages and all of those things too that they offer up. Don't be a part of it. Lord, help us to see the sinfulness of sin, to realize the ways of the world do not belong to the ways of the saints of God. For we are called to be a holy nation. Exodus, the 19th chapter. Exodus 19 and 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Oh, you hear the Lord's desire in this? I want you to be my people. I want you to be a nation unto myself. I don't want you to corrupt yourself and pollute yourself with those things that I can't smile upon, that I can't bring near unto myself. I want you to be willing to separate yourselves, to sanctify yourselves, the scripture we read said, unto me, for the Lord your God, He's a holy God. When we see in, well, before we go there, I want to get one other scripture. This one found in Ephesians. Ephesians, the 1st chapter. I'm reading in the 4th verse. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know, that's why the Lord's plan and design was from before the foundation of the world. Before God even created mankind, his purpose for mankind was a beautiful plan. It was to be in the image of God. It was to follow in God's ways. Sin corrupted that and it polluted it and defiled that plan that it couldn't be accomplished. Sin cannot dwell in the presence of a holy God. It's why our song says sin can never enter there. Sin is not able to enter into heaven. Jesus said, "You shall die in your sins," speaking unto the Pharisees or the publicans that were there with him. You'll die in your sins, that where I am, you cannot come. If you die in your sins, you're not able to go and be with the Lord, because sin can't abide in his holy presence. There's no place, there's no sinner's corner in heaven. Every soul that is blood washed by the blood of the Lamb will be able to say, "I once was, but no longer am," by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no sin that will enter there. These things we may know and be familiar with, but Lord, reinforce it in our minds. This concept is very foreign to the ways of, and the ideas of the world. Wherein so many people today, "I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God." So many, been several funeral directors that I've worked with in the course of performing funerals that have said, it seemed like everybody that comes through these services, they're all in a better place. They're all in heaven. It's not the case. It's the Lord's will that it be the case, but it's not. Sin cannot enter there. Unrighteousness and everything that defileth and work of iniquity cannot enter into God's holy heaven. It can't dwell there. It can't abide there. It's why I don't believe that the scriptures teach that Satan abode in heaven and rebelled against the Lord and was cast out, because there is no sin, there is no iniquity in God's heaven. And it is a comfort and a reassurance to us whenever we get to heaven. Oh, heaven is a holy place filled with glory and with grace. I'm not going to have to look over at you or at somebody else and say, is there a seed of rebellion working in them? Are they going to be cast out one of these? Am I going to be cast out one of these days? Folks, the enemy will be ultimately, once and for all, banished and conquered. Sin will never enter there. Isn't that a beautiful thought of a place to live? No more sin, no more defilement, no more corruption and pollution. And oh, heaven is a beautiful place. I want to be there. And you know, there's another beautiful place that was spoiled by sin. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You remember what happened when they sinned? They couldn't abide there anymore. The Lord had prepared all of this beauty and this bounty for them. But sin can't abide in the presence of a holy God. Sin's not they're not able to freely partake anymore of the tree of life. Sin has separated that. Sin has put a distance now where I'm outside of the favor of God. I'm outside of His presence. I'm estranged from my God and my Creator. Left to my own ways and to my own devices. What a dark journey. Sin separates. There's no place for sin to abide in the heart of a child of God. There is no place for sin to abide in the church of the living God. If sin abides in the church of the living God, God will not abide there. And it will not be the church of the living God. This is not man's institution. This is not man's organization. This is the church of God. He is the one who sets the members in the body. He is the one that calls us unto a holy plane, a highway of holiness that's lifted up, that's different. There's a distinction. There should be a distinction of the church of God. Not because we make of ourselves something, but because the blood of Jesus makes of us something. That the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. That we don't have that iniquity working in our hearts. So we don't have that which we have to cover over and hide. And He's called us to a highway of holiness that's lifted up above all the mire and the muck that you get stuck in. And He's called us to a holy plane in Him. I don't believe, again, this is just a message of Brother D.S. Warner. I don't believe this is just our message. I believe this is the message of the Word of God. And thank the Lord for a way that the Lord has for us to be a holy nation. To be able to be called out of the kingdom of darkness and translated. We don't have dual citizenship. Again, the Lord doesn't call us down in the pit of sin and say, all right, you're going to stay there. You're still mine. He lifts us up out and He translates us into the kingdom of His dear Son. There's a difference. Night and day. I think of the scripture that says in 2 Corinthians, I believe, the 6th chapter. Thinking about this distinction. 2 Corinthians 6, it says, The 14th verse, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The ways of the world are contrary to this. The ways of the world may say, well, you can still have your ideas as long as it doesn't cross mine. The Athenians were those who loved to hear and tell of some new thing. So they were glad to take Paul's God and we'll make a statue unto your God as well. But it's going to be one of many. We're going to put it on an equal plane. We're going to blend this all together in our worship. And he said, no, that's not the way this works. Nor is it the way it works in the life of a Christian, that there are many gods we worship. We cannot follow after the ways of the world and pursue the God of this world and the Lord God of heaven. He said that you're separate. There's a distinction here. It's like oil and water. The properties don't mix. So what concord, what agreement hath light with darkness? That's just cloudy confusion that God is not the author of. He's called us to be children of the day and not children of the night. But the world tries to call good evil and evil good and mix it all up, and you just kind of land somewhere in the middle. The Lord has called us to be a distinct and a holy and a righteous people. Lord, help us to not allow the ways of this world to numb our ability, our spiritual senses, our spiritual discernment, to be able to understand this thing is unclean. This thing is of the world. Folks, this is a heart matter. This isn't about us saying, you know what, we're a holiness people, and I'm going to tell you how to be holy. There's a place for instruction. There's a place for teaching. But we got to get a hold of this with our heart. We got to see the King in His glory. We've got to have a love for the Lord, and it puts a repulsion in our hearts. I don't want that. I don't want the things of this world. I think of what David said in Psalm 101, the third verse. He said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That which is in the world, it will not cleave unto me. That should be the heart of every one of the children of God. Amen. That I don't want any part of the ways of the world. There's a repulsion, and it's one thing for us to talk about that. But this needs to have feet in our lives. This needs to look like something in our lives. It needs to produce something in our lives. That there will be a clear delineation in our lives, in our conduct, between us and the world. How clear is that distinction in your life and in mine? The temptation is to try to blur the lines. The temptation is to try to camouflage ourselves a little bit. The Lord's not called us to be hunters. He called us to be fishers. The Lord hadn't called us to wear camouflage and look like the world and try to blend in. We don't win the world by being the world. That's not what the Lord calls us unto. He doesn't call us to a different place in the mud. He calls us up out of the mud to a higher place. All the world needs to see in our lives. They need to hear in our conversation. They need to see in the way we dress. They need to see in the way we conduct ourselves that there is a better way. You don't have to subscribe to the ways of the world. There are better ways to entertain yourself. You don't have to feel dirty and defiled and unclean and guilty when you're done entertaining yourself. There's a pure and a clean and a holy way that is pleasing unto God. that doesn't defile itself with the ways of the world. I don't have to go take your garbage to entertain myself. I can enjoy God's beautiful creation. I can enjoy this wonderful salvation. I can enjoy a family that the Lord has given, and that the principles of godliness and righteousness, all the benefits that it affords us. I don't need the sewage of the world when I've got something better. The Lord is calling for a holy nation, unspotted from the world. Isn't that what James said was a mark of true religion? To visit the fatherless and the widows, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Oh Lord, help us that we not start to collect spots. That we not start to allow one little spot to slip by and another little spot. Well, how do we get spots? You know, if I listen to the things of the world, Scripture says, can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? If I seek entertainment in the venues of the world, if I find entertainment by those things that in and of themselves are sinful, and I'm going to seek entertainment of it on the screen, in the music that I listen to, folks, there's something wrong there. The Lord doesn't want that to be in the heart of a child of God. That's not what I reach out after. That's not what I crave. The Lord wants to do a heart work within us that says, I don't want it. I've seen the King in His glory. Song number 81, I believe. I am from sin set free. You ever just meditated on the words of this song? Let worldly minds the world pursue. It has no charms for me. Once I admired its trifles too. But all grace has set me free. Its pleasures can no longer please. It doesn't do it for me anymore. Nor happiness afford. Far from my heart be joys like these. Now I have seen the Lord. Oh, dear ones, have we seen the Lord? Have we seen Him in His glory? Not just as we heard about in Sunday school, not just an occasional glimpse of Him, but are we living in a place to behold the glory of the Lord on a daily basis? It'll spoil us for wanting the things of this world. This is a better way than having a legislative body of the Church of God that says, here are the 40 commandments, or 40,000 of the Church of God. You've got to subscribe to this and this and this. But He said, I'm going to take my law and I'm going to write it in the tables of your heart, where your desires are. I want to take those desires, that inclination, that drawing for the things of the world. I want to call you to something better, to something higher than that. That you're not constantly striving with this, oh, if I could just get by with it. You know, a lot of people live their lives that way. And I offer as one point of evidence for that statement, I saw a statistic that said over 70% of adults say that if they knew they would never be found out, they would be unfaithful to their spouse. Folks, there's a better way than that. There's a better restraint than the fear of men. There's a better restraint than just, well, I'm not going to be able to get by with it. The church doesn't allow it. What are they going to think of me? Oh, there's something where the Lord wants us to see His face and to behold that and to say, Lord, it spoiled me for all the things of this world. There's something, it doesn't do it for me anymore. I don't want that. see those things and it's a repulsion now. There's almost a shock factor to it now. I don't want that anymore because I've found something that's better. While fellowship hath light with darkness. And oh, what a better thing God has called us unto. He said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, what a reward that's offered. Folks, when we see the payday of the Lord, when we realize what the Lord is offering, it's not that the Lord strips us of all of our pleasure, of all of our fun, of all of our entertainment, and all we can do is just sit around and do nothing. What's the song say? Oh, the glory of Calvary's love story. It says something about some people say all you can do is just sing and pray. No, I do just what I want to. I go wherever I please. And that's why I'm here today. When the Lord puts it in our hearts, when the Lord changes that heart, and He gives us a vision of something better, and a love for the Lord, it says, you can have it. I don't want it. Far from my heart be joys like these. Now I have seen the Lord. As by the light of opening day, the stars are all concealed. So earthly pleasures fade away. When Jesus is revealed, these things ought not to be an abstract doctrine or teaching, but a reality to every one of us who are called to be part of a holy nation. We are called to this place that God invites us to. I want to be your father. I want to walk with you. I want my glory to be in your life. I want the pleasures of the Lord to accompany you. I want you to taste of the joy of the Lord. But uncleanness can't abide where I am. I can't fill you with glory where uncleanness is. I can't fill you with the joy of the Lord where the joys of the world are. I can't fill you with the pleasures of righteousness where you're pursuing after the pleasures of this world. So He's saying, be separate. Don't touch the unclean thing. Folks, this is going to look like something in every one of our lives. I want us to get a hold of this. This is not an abstract doctrine or philosophy just out there somewhere. We don't have a legislative body of the Church of God. We have standards that we do and should hold. We have expectations of those that stand and fill this place, that their life should resemble, should mirror what the Word of God and the pattern of the Word is. But it is for every one of us to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling before the Lord. For every one of us to get a hold of this with the Lord. If I see the Lord for who He is, and I realize the Lord has called us unto holiness, He's called us away from uncleanness, He's called us to be separate from the ways of the world. 1 John, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't get your heart set on them. Don't love the way the world dresses. Don't love the places the world goes. Don't love the things the world does. Don't love this world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. They're not compatible. You can't take 60% of this and 40% of that, or 99% of this and 1% of that. We have to be willing to say, Lord, I'll separate myself from the ways of the world. Let the world laugh. Let the world scoff. Lord, I'm choosing to follow You. We might as well settle it in our minds. As Jesus said, the world will hate you. Don't expect the world's praise or acceptance. The Lord has a better plan for us than a legalistic salvation. What I mean by that is, well, I know I have to be holy. Let's see what I can kind of fit into this holiness category. Let's see how much I can get by with. Well, I know I'm supposed to dress modestly. You know, we can wear our skirts. The world wears them too. And we can wear it in such a way. I know I have an expectation that I have to do certain things. Or I feel like I can't go to a certain place. But I'm going to so camouflage myself to look as much like what the world would say. Wow. We're not called to that. We're not called to get the world's approval. We're not called to blend in and mix and mingle with the world. I want to read a scripture. It's found in Psalms, the 29th chapter. Psalms chapter 29. The first verse says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Oh, I pray today that we have a vision of the beauty of holiness. It's not something to be ashamed of. You know, our sisters have maybe even more of an opportunity than we are as men to show a distinction before this world. Don't run from it. Don't shirk that opportunity to show the world there's a distinction here. There's a difference here. It's not that we're going to go out and try to make a demonstration to show everybody, look at me, you're not going to have to. Living a holy life will create a stark distinction between us and the world. So that's going to, again, look like something. I'm going to have to draw the line somewhere. I continue to use the example of modesty. I'm going to have to draw the line somewhere. Many people who take the name of Christianity say, I can dress like everybody else at the beach, and I still subscribe to the idea that I'm modest. Folks, we're going to have to draw a line somewhere. Where are you going to draw the line? May I encourage you today, embrace the beauty of holiness. Don't see how close you can get to the world. You're going to have to draw some line of how far down it comes. The skirt, the pants, the sleeves. Why not embrace the beauty of holiness? Why not say, Lord, I don't want to just try to blend in with the world. I don't want to just look like, I might look funny in the summertime dressed the way that I am. You know what? Somebody might ask me, why do you dress that way? And I might have an opportunity to share with them. We men folks maybe haven't developed this muscle as much as the sisters have to. But are we willing to make a distinction? Are we willing? Fashion isn't just something that the women are affected by. Fashion is something that's taken hold of men in this world as well. Are we willing to create a distinction and conduct ourselves? Even this modesty thing is about more than rules and regulations. It's about a chasteness of heart, a shamefacedness, a reverence for God that says, Lord, I want to represent You to this world. Lord, when this world looks on, I don't want them to see me. I want them to see the beauty of holiness. Folks, holiness is beautiful. Because holiness begins in the heart and emanates outward. True righteousness and holiness. There are people that identify as holiness. And sometimes the spirit is, there's something wrong there. True holiness inside the heart that begins to manifest itself outwardly. Folks, it's beautiful. It is refreshing. It is something the world needs. It is a rare commodity in our world today. Are we willing to embrace the beauty of holiness? Are we willing to say, Lord, I've got to draw some lines somewhere. Lord, I'm going to err on the side of caution. To err on the side, Lord, I want to represent you. I'd rather get to heaven and hear the Lord say, you know what, maybe you didn't have to be just quite as careful as you were. I don't feel like I'm shortchanged anywhere in my life. But I'd rather hear that than to, well, a song maybe said it better than I can. I'd rather be old-fashioned. Oh, I'd rather be old-fashioned and have the favor of the Lord than to lose my soul in this old world. And lose my soul in hell. I'm not recalling all the words of it. Lord, help us to see the beauty. That we would have a desire to be found in the image of our Creator. Again, we're called to be a holy nation. And I feel like before we close, I need to get the scripture in the New Testament found in 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, the 5th verse. It says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And in the 9th verse it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you want to be part of a chosen generation? Found without spot and blemish in our garments, in our heart, our desires, our thoughts, the way we conduct our lives. May we be as Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. The Lord has called us to a transformation. A change, a difference, a fundamental difference from this world. Lord, help us to not shy away from it, to not try to disguise it, shirk it, but to be willing to allow the Lord to show forth His praises in this dark and sin-cursed world that needs so desperately to see a better way. Lord, help us by our lives to show them a better way. To realize today, the message of holiness is unchanged. Holiness is the same. This world changes, world's ways, and it probably stands to reason that the darker this world becomes, the more the contrast between a child of God who lives a holy life and the ways of this world. So I challenge us today in the fear of the Lord, embrace the beauty of holiness. Don't shirk it, run from it, hide it, disguise it, but just say, Lord, I want to be part of this holy nation, peculiar for you to find pleasure in me. You pray for me. Amen.